is this a first time for you at a film festival, or have you had your found yourself at Cannes or Sundance in years past?
Well, I guess I've been a few times over the years. I went to the Cannes Film Festival a couple times back in, I guess, 89 and 90. And then in 2004, we were here for the World Cup in the early stages of the TIFF that was being held here in Toronto. So, yeah, I have been around it, but this is the first time that we've actually sort of been involved where Janet actually had some work and had a movie. And of course, last night we then went to the Red Army documentary, which was really wonderful.
We'll ask you about that. Tell us a little bit first about your impressions of The Sound and the Fury. James Franco, Seth Rogen, people know Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down. He's very talented. This was a great opportunity, obviously, for Janet in this movie with these huge names.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of years ago, she had done a small part in a movie that was called Palo Alto that James had sort of put together. And through that, she had worked a couple of days, and through that, James had called her to be part of this movie. So she was obviously very excited to be with the cast of people that she was with, and, of course, to work with James. And obviously, it's a pretty deep and dark sort of book that he turned into a movie. But, you know, it was great for her and it was wonderful. I know she had a wonderful time, and she got a chance last week to go to Venice to the film festival with James and then, of course, come up here. So, yeah, it's been wonderful.
Wayne Gretzky, our guest. You mentioned you saw the Red Army documentary last night. A lot of Fetisov in there detailing the rise and fall of Soviet hockey. What were your lasting impressions of this?
Well, first of all, I really enjoyed it. And then I think in listening to the director afterwards, and one of the fun things about the events here that you can actually ask questions about something and hear somebody's opinion. And I think in listening to what he was saying, I think he really started out to make this a guy who was a hockey fan to try to understand how these five guys worked and how they lived and how they grew up together, Kasatonov, Fetisov, Krutov, Makarov, and Larionov. And then he was saying that the very last interview, the hardest interview for him to get was with Fetisov. And it was the very last day of shooting, and he thought he was going to have 15 minutes, and he ended up with 6 hours of footage. And through that, he found out a great deal about Slava's life. His brother was killed in a car accident with him driving the car. He was sent to jail for 24 hours when he quit the national team. He was beaten up. He was kicked off the team another time. And they kept threatening his family, and et cetera, et cetera. So, and through all that, he was actually very articulate and very funny, to be honest. And the show, because of his interview, became more about Slava Fetisov. So, although it was a little bit about the KLM line and the Big Five, it mostly centered around growing up in the KGB and in the old Soviet system, and everything that went with that. So really, truly, it was pretty exciting, pretty emotional. Not a lot of things in there that I didn't know in the past. I knew pretty much all of it, but it was still very intriguing.
When you were playing and you first saw the Makarovs and the Larionovs and the Fetisovs coming over, did it jog some of those memories? What went through your head at that time, seeing those guys on the other side?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the very first scenes in the documentary was Team Canada Juniors. We were wearing blue uniforms, and probably people watching had no idea who we were, but we were wearing blue and white. It was, I believe, 77. We were in Quebec City. I think we lost 3-2. That was the first time I played against the line, the first time I saw Fetisov. And I was commenting, I think I had 3 2-on-1s that game. I don't think we got a shot on that, and he was the defenseman each time. So, and then over the years, you know, we played against him in, I guess, 84 and 87, 81. Just, he was a real presence. And then I got to know Igor pretty much after the 84 double overtime game in Calgary. And I didn't know any of them spoke English until that game. I had a bite to eat with Igor and found out and figured out real quickly that they that most of them spoke English, especially Fedosov and Larionov. They were already planning and building this sort of bridge that they were going to get to the National Hockey League. And they wanted to do it properly. They didn't want to defect. And so consequently, they were able to get here and play in the league. And then in 87, when we had the great series, I really got to know them at that point in time. Because we were playing in Hamilton, they actually, the KL on mine and Fedosov, they came to my dad and mom's house for a barbecue, but they could only come if Tikhonov came, and they could only come if two KGB guys came. So, you know, I got to meet them over the years and have some fun.
You got to go out to get more meat for the three guys.
It was really funny, too, because the KGB guys were telling them that we were putting on a big show that this is not how Canadians eat, and the government was sponsoring the dinner, and basically it was hamburgers and hot dogs.
Wayne,
what was it like? It was filets.
Wayne Gretzky's kind enough to join us. The Red Army, we're talking about that, and I want to ask you about the 84 Oilers in a sec, but one more on this is that the stories that I've always heard is the level of abuse, I mean verbal abuse that these guys, and physical, that these guys had to take. Fedosov, Kazatonov, the two guys in Vancouver, I remember thinking, God, if, you know, you're in L.A. then starting your second year. Edmonton's still really good. Calgary's really good. And I'm thinking, if these guys can play like that in the 87 Canada Cup, Vancouver's right up there with you guys as contenders. And Igor was able to adjust and acclimate to North America. And the tank of the late Vladimir Krutov just wasn't able to. It. Some guys were able to make it work, and it was harder for others.
Yeah, and I think that, first of all, like I said earlier, Larionov and Fedosov seemed to, from a young age, have this mindset that they were going to play one day in the National Hockey League. So they were, over the years, sort of training themselves, not only on the ice, but to how to live off the ice, how to be a North American, whether it's living in Canada or the United States. And where Krutov and Makarov were Soviets through and through, and I think they really had a harder time adjusting to the lifestyle and the living quarters as much or more than the actual hockey, whereas Larionov and Fedosov were much more comfortable. And the other part of it is Krutov and Makarov were probably whipped like horses so much that by the time those two guys did get here, they were physically and mentally beat up, and you can't play in the National Hockey League at a high level and then play 80 games. These guys were used to playing 30 big games, not 80.
We're less than a month away from the start of the season, and something that I know Greg and I heard some details about yesterday, but the Edmonton Oilers honoring that 1984 group that won the first Stanley Cup at Edmonton. You're a big part of that. How excited are you to reunite with everybody?
Yeah, this is a really special sort of scenario in that we get an opportunity for everybody to get together, guys that we haven't seen for years. Maybe we've come in contact over the phone or email, but really haven't seen. And, you know, it was a pretty unique group in that probably one of the youngest average age teams ever to win a cup. You know, the main core guys, Coffey and Messier and Fuhrer and Lowe and Anderson, we're like 22 or 23 years old. So it's a real interesting time for all of us, and here we are 30 years later. It was a great opportunity. Everyone's alive. There's only been a couple of scouts that have passed away. One of them was in a 9/11 crash. So a chance for everybody to get together and raise hopefully over $1 million for a children's hospital and have a little bit of fun with everyone together and sort of mix the old team with the new team and maybe get them off to a positive start.
That's great to be in on that cause. Wayne Gretzky's in Toronto right now with his wife Janet Jones. The movie Janet's in is called The Sound and the Fury. James Franco, Seth Rogen in that as well. You know, the average person, the average Canadian has such a care factor about you. They feel like they know you. I'm sure that's got its pros and cons. Dustin Johnson's your daughter's fiance. He's an excellent PGA golfer. You have a relationship with this man, but we're all fiercely loyal to our own kids. He's been away from the tour, absent from it. Is Dustin in a better place right now? Is he doing okay? What can you say about where he's at?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's mostly pros. You know, people are always nice to me, and you know, I've had a few days here in Toronto. We've had a wonderful time, and it's just been outstanding. And people have been so kind. So, and then, you know, as far as he goes, obviously he's got a life isn't perfect, and he went through a tough time. And you know, as he said to me, you know, it's going to make me a better person, and more importantly, a more responsible person. And then that through that, it's going to make me a better athlete and a better golfer. And you know what? In life, unfortunately, sometimes we forget that even athletes are human, and there's bumps in the road. And most importantly, he's a wonderful person with a good heart, and we care about him. He's our future son-in-law, and we love him dearly. So, yeah, it's been a tough time, and we all. And when you go through tough times as a family, that's when you got to stick together the most.
Well, we're all pulling for him, pulling for your family as well. We hope the movie is a big success. We're both going to find time to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
And we're excited about it. The Sound and the Fury with Janet Jones, and obviously, as we mentioned, Seth Rogen and James Franco. Thank you for doing this morning for us.
Yeah, anytime, and I'm sure the hockey season is going to be fun and exciting, and thank you guys very much. You guys have a great day. Enjoy the hockey.